We are in the throes of a series called Pop Idols, popular idols. And the sorts of popular idols I'm thinking of are things like sex, money, rock and roll, although we're not talking about any of those today. But the series is looking at the book of Judges, because what we've noticed is that the Israelites in the book of Judges, they had a similar, difficulties or whatever in facing idols, some of which are different to ours, some of which are exactly the same. Anyway, we're taking a very slight detour. We're staying with the book of Judges, but we're doing a bit of a detour. You will have heard me say many a time now that the Israelites sort of went on this cycle, didn't they, between going in a period of disaster and then a period of peace when a judge came. Well, rather than looking at the next judge, we'll be looking at disasters, because it seems so fun. No, it's something that I think is probably topical for us to have a look at. So I will be very briefly mentioning Gideon, but rest assured, Ryan, up in the crow's nest, he will be talking at much greater length, and I suspect far more interestingly than myself, about Gideon next week. Yay! So please come along, support him. It's his first talk. So... back to today, I'd like to talk to you, yes, about, really about this question. Where is God when natural disasters strike, and where should we be? Okay? So let's start by looking, and this is chapter 6, if you've got your Bibles, chapter 6 of Judges, and it's the first 10 verses, and it says this: "The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because Midian and the other people of Israel made for themselves, because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people from the east would come against them, and they would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza," presumably that was quite a long way away, "and leave no substance in Israel, and no sheep or ox, no donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted. So they laid waste the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. And when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them," the prophet said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." There's lots of other fantastic stories, actually, in this chapter, some of which you may be familiar with. I wish I had time to tell you about them, but I don't, so I won't. Needless to say, you'll have to read up about it yourself. I may write a few notes just to sort of get you thinking if you want to do some homework. Anyway. This chapter starts with the familiar line that we've read on a number of occasions now. It says, the people of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, if you've heard one or two of the talks that I've done previously, you'll have heard that there's this cycle that the Israelites go through. It sort of starts with the Israelites forgetting about God, or sort of mixing God with other gods in the land that they were living, which is Canaan. And as a result, God sends an oppressive neighboring nation, and they sort of devour the Israelites. Funnily enough, the Israelites then remember God, and they cry out for help, and then God sends a spiritual leader called a judge, who brings the Israelites back into a rightful position with God, and also generally, on a military level, overcomes the oppression and brings about lasting peace. And then that judge dies, and over time the Israelites again forget about God. And this goes on and on and on. So we, in chapter 6 now, we've been through, I think it's 5 cycles already. We're now on to the 6th cycle, and the oppressors this time are the Midianites. The cycles, the oppression in the cycles get worse and worse and worse each time. And this is the worst yet. The Midianites are the worst that the Israelites have known. They're not at all interested in economic control rather than political governance. So they don't want to govern the land. They simply want to plunder, to take all the crops and all of the cattle and animals, and they left absolutely nothing for the Israelites. They just didn't care about them whatsoever. And the Israelites had to flee to some nearby mountain regions, which is very inhospitable, and they there built dens and lived in caves. And so they cried out to God in desperation, and God did something a little odd at this stage. You see, ordinarily at this point, God would send a judge. But on this occasion, before sending a judge, he sent somebody else. He sent a prophet. Prophets are people who do not go to war. They talk. That's all they do. So they were after a saviour, and they were given a sermon. And the question is, why? Why would God do that? Well, and I think this is the answer. You see, there, as I say, there's been 5 judges already, and one would think by this point that the Israelites would have learnt the lesson. You know, don't wander off. You don't get oppressed. We don't have to go through the cycle again. But they weren't learning this. It was just going on and on and on. And so God, by sending this prophet, wanted to teach the Israelites why they needed rescuing. Not just rescuing them, but why they needed rescuing. And the prophet gave a short sermon, which is what we just read. And in a nutshell, the prophet said 2 things. Firstly, he said what God has done, namely, God had rescued the Israelites from slavery. He's referring back to when they were under the authority of Pharaoh in Egypt. but of course, I mean, they're familiar, aren't they, with more recent history of being in slavery. And the prophet was saying, God has saved you time and time again from slavery. That's what he has done. And the other thing that the prophet mentioned was what they had done. And what they had done was basically rejected him time and time again. They repeatedly did not obey God's commands to worship only him. Only him. And so the Israelites were desperate. And they were working on the premise that life was disastrous because God had left them. That's the underlying premise that they felt was affecting them. They were having trouble because God had left them. And what the prophet had come to specifically teach was that that's not the case. Trouble comes, if you're writing notes, trouble comes not when God abandons his people, but when his people abandon God. Big difference. Now, sometimes our troubles are very clearly the result of decisions that we make. Yeah, they're very, very clearly our fault. They're simply consequences of bad decisions that we make.